Good evening, everyone. Let the record indicate it is 5:05 p.m. in the Warwick City Council. Finance Committee has come to order. There are no minutes to be voted on. Moving on to PCR 17019, resolution relative to abatements. The first item we have is, I'm sorry, I'm on the wrong sheet. First item is 2020-188, repair parts for sand and salt spreaders, found on page one. Chrissy?
Good evening.
Good evening.
The department's requesting to award this bid to the four vendors that submitted, J.C. Madigan, Tri-County Contractors, Tri-Power Sales, and HP Fairfield. We are requesting a cap of $12,000 for a one-year period beginning November 26, 2019.
So, Christy, explain to us the difference on 65-250 and 65-258, why they're broken up like that.
65-258 is for plow parts specifically, but it's also for, well, it's for snowplow parts, it's for snowplow blades and sander parts. So with that, with those three different bids using the $34,000 in there, the 250 is for regular mechanical parts. Should we run into an issue as far as funding in 258, we have another funding source that we can go to keep the things
okay.
on the road.
And I'm sorry, the 258 was?
It's plow parts.
For the plows, okay. In your recommendation for the four vendors, did you put these vendors in any particular order, or is it just?
No, I didn't.
Okay. My concern is how you're going to track these different parts, because as an example, there's a big difference between pot number 4132, which is chute, whatever a chute is. J.C. Madigan's price is $816, and Tri-Power, who is one of the recommendations, is $998. As a matter of fact, on our page 9, Tri-Power's page 10, every single price from Tri-Power is higher on every single item than J.C. Madigan.
So
I thought it was interesting too, where J.C. Madigan is offering us a 10% discount, and Tri-Power is telling us that there's a 10% increase. That's fine. I mean, if they want to have a 10% increase, that's okay. But let me just finish on where I'm going with this whole thing, Christy. So there's a lot of comparative numbers here that have a big difference in price. So my recommendation is to, and maybe you already have, I don't know, but you know, I have to sit here and kind of cross and reference all these pages and these numbers to see who's got the better price on a keyway, who doesn't, even on the terminology. So on Tri-Power's, on their page 12, pot number 1401200, they scratch out keyway and they put in gearbox. But yet on J.C. Madigan, they have that pot in there, 141, et cetera, et cetera. 140, 120. They have keyway in there. Their price is $23.94. Tri-Power, they scratch out keyway and put in gearbox for a $436 price. different things like that that I've picked up on. Tri-Power on their item 220101, spinner adjusting bracket. That's another item that JC Madigan is 176.37, Tri-Power is 198. So here's where I'm going with this. I'm okay with this thing. I'm not going to hold it up, ask you to rebid it or anything like that. But I just think that this is the way this is here, it's going to take a lot of monitoring. So my recommendation would be for the department to put up a spreadsheet of these different pots and have something simple so that whoever's ordering these pots can see those differences without having to spend all the time that I had to spend chasing through them. Do you have something like that in place?
Yes, we have spreadsheets for all our bids. This, a couple of things. There's six different brands that we ask for. Not every vendor provides a particular brand.
A particular what?
Brand.
Brand. No, I understand that, but a pot number is a pot number, right?
Right. Okay. So what we do is, obviously, you know, we can't keep these things out of service until we can get a part. If we need a part, and J.C. Madigan's lowest, but they don't have it in stock and can't get it to us for 2 weeks, and Tri-Power does have it, and we can get it either the same day or the next day, that's what we're going to do. So I understand with the price difference potentially on some of these items, but we do our best to make sure that we're getting the best price, but it's also weather dependent. And
that's all I'm saying, because there is some huge differences in some of these prices. And, you know, while we certainly like to see local bidders doing business with the city, we're not looking to have that at the disadvantage to the taxpayers. So I'm just suggesting that this is something that, you know, is going to have to really be closely monitored. And I see where J.C. Madigan says on their stock of Torrell pots, once the stock is depleted, they're no longer going to be carrying it. Well, that's all cool, well and good. But right now, you got some big savings on some of those pots. So, as I said, I don't have a problem with it. I just think that there's a lot of work to be done on your end, making sure that it's the lower bidder is the one that we use on this. And also, by the way, I think that you did a good job in getting the information with the pots and the discounts, whether it be showing a 10% price increase or a discount or no discount. At least we have the information, you know, that we've been asking for. So I'm okay with that. Any questions from members of the committee? Councilman McAllister.
Yes, I just wanted to echo what the chairman just said. Thank you very much. This bid had all the information in there, all the parts. I agree with having multiple vendors on this. As we know, during the winter season, things go down and we need to get them back up. So it's good to have options. And I trust that you'll be looking to purchase for the best price for the taxpayers. But it's good to have different options available. So if something breaks down, we don't lose it for 2 weeks waiting for a part to come in. Thank you.
Any other questions from members of the committee? Questions from members of the council? Questions from members of the public? Hearing none, I need a motion.
Move for favorable action.
Seconded.
We have a motion for favorable. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Ayes have it. Next item. Thank you, Christy. 2020-198, police personnel uniforms. And that is found on page 18. Good evening, Major.
Good evening. Lori Michaelides on behalf of the police department. In September, the police department went out to bid for uniforms. We only received two bids. While body armor was the lowest bidder on a number of items, they also didn't bid on a large quantity of items. Because Rhode Island Uniform was the only bidder on so many of the items that we routinely order, and the low bidder on a handful of items, I'm recommending this bid be awarded to them.
Major, as happened with other bids, I'm concerned with the fact that with such a large item, you know, a $50,000 item, I know in the past we've had a pretty good selection of vendors who have bid on this item. I mean, it's a big item. It's a big number. It's, you know, 50 grand. And it's not like someone has to reinvent the wheel because the police uniforms don't change. You know, I mean, the uniforms, hats, belts, et cetera, et cetera. The only thing that changes is the people that are in them. So it's concerning to me that with this bid that I only see two vendors, and it's concerning to me that one of the vendors, you know, is missing a lot of stuff. And it's concerning to me that there are so many vendors on this sheet. I think unless you object, I'm going to make a recommendation that we send this back out for a rebid. And I would like to hopefully have more people participate in this bid. And maybe get a little more competitive number. As long as it's not going to affect anything that you guys do, it's no issue for you?
No issue for us.
Okay.
No.
Are you comfortable with
I'm comfortable with going
back out with that?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Any questions from members of the committee? Councilman Howe.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Major, thank you for that willingness to do that, because I do see that there's quite a few businesses out here, and their contacts look updated, so again, I have to identify and thank you for that, because I notice that this list is continually grows, so maybe it's a new process for a lot of these businesses. So, Mr. Chairman, I would support that 100%. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Hearing none. First of all, we're going to move this to PCR 172-19, and I need a motion to hold. Major, how much time do you need?
I'd say a couple months.
All right. Never mind. We're just going to go unfavorable, and you're going to go off a rebid and come back to us when you can. Okay, thank you.
Yes, sir.
I need a motion for unfavorable action, please.
Unfavorable action.
We have a motion for unfavorable.
Second.
We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Let the record indicate. Aye.
Sorry.
Aye?
Yeah.
Aye. Let the record indicate that PCR 172-19 was unfavorable, and the police department is going to be going back out for rebid. Thank you, Major.
Yes.
Next item, 2020-214, found on page 35. Major?
The department is seeking authorization to purchase ballistic vests from various vendors for police officers under City Ordinance 56-6 on an as-needed basis. The exception is requested in order to meet contractual requirements provided for in Section 31 of the current CBA that allows officers to select a vest of their choice, of which the department would pay the average cost of the top three brands for a level 2A or 3A vest. The levels indicate the vest tested resistance to certain calibers and ballistics of certain ammunition tested by the National Institute of Justice. Vests are replaced at the department's expense upon reaching the maximum life, which is normally 5 years, unless their vest is damaged or otherwise impacted by other elements. We are anticipating 50 officers, at least 11 new hires will require vests during the next one-year contract. It should be noted that each vest is specifically tailored or measured for each individual officer, so we are not in a practice of purchasing them in advance. We're seeking spending authority in the amount of $50,000 to purchase on an as-needed basis. Within your materials, you'll see an inter-office memo outlining our projections for this year. I also included Section 31 of the contract, which shows the actual wording. I went to the National Institute of Justice's website, which and I downloaded the page of survival armor showing all of their vests that are active and have a 5-year warranty period, and I did a inventory of all of our recent purchases on vests, and it seems that over 80% of our officers will purchase a Survival Armor Paragon 6 style vest, which I included that model information within the packet as well.
Thank you for that, Major, and thank you also for that memo and for answering my questions on this earlier today. This is something that we've kind of gone round and round on in the past as well. It's a contractual requirement. It's a an allowance up to, not existing. An officer chooses to purchase something different, they pay for the difference out of their pocket, et cetera, et cetera. And it is has to meet certain specifications with regard to the federal requirements on this. So I'm fine with it. Any questions with from members of the committee? Questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, I need a motion.
Move for favorable action.
Seconded.
We have a motion for favor. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Major. Next item, 2020-219, electricity contract, found on page 37.
Evening, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Brian Sylvia, Finance Director. Before you this evening is a recommendation by the administration to extend for a contract for the city's bulk pricing for electricity supplier services for a three-year contract to Constellation. This contract was bid, as it's been, the city has followed the League of Cities and Towns bulk bid on this for at least the last two contracts. It might be longer. I didn't go back any further than that. But at least the last two contracts, the city has followed the League of Cities and Towns bid on this. The last couple of contracts were awarded to Direct Energy for this contract. This most recent time was awarded to Constellation. The city is recommending a three-year contract expiring December 2022 with a rate of 0.071. That was as of October 21st. This would represent an estimated savings of $70,000 annually, or about $210,000 over the term, because the current rate for the current contract was 0.7598. It's worth noting, too, if we had just purchased our supplier service, this service through National Grid as we had before the cities and towns were bidding on this contract, we would have been paying over $440,000 annually more. The only other thing I wanted to point out, again, these rates change daily. So the recommendation letter was prepared on October, based on pricing on October 21st. As of today, the same three-year contract has pricing changed slightly. It would change to 0.0711 from 0.710.
That's for the first?
That is the three-year. That is, let me read them all in, actually.
Go ahead.
I guess I should do that. So as of today, the one-year contract expiring December 2020, would be 0.0738. The two-year contract expiring December 2021 would be 0.0720. Three-year contract expiring December 2022 would be 0.0711. And the three-and-a-half-year contract, this one expires June 2023, would be 0.0722.
722?
Correct.
I see. Okay.
So,
by all means, Councilman Howe.
Thank you. You said that this one would be in a 3.5 year.
That is correct.
The last one. It says in our notes here from December 19 through December 23. Should that be June 23?
I'm sorry, yes.
Okay, no problem. Thank you.
Yes.
Which is how you came up with the partial, right, Brian? Okay, and that rate was 0.0722, correct?
That is correct.
Okay. So, Brian, this afternoon I had given you a call, mm-hmm. and I was curious as to why not go for the four-year, anticipating the answer was going to be because in the last quarter, I should say the last half of the 23 fiscal year, the rate was going up at the time to 0.721. I had asked if it were possible to have the vendor agree to us having that option to extend for that term at the end of three, and you were going to check into that.
We could do the 3 year now, and then we would have the option of doing the final 6 months. I was told, though, at the same time, at that point, they will be going out to bid, and the League of Cities and Towns will be going out to bid again, and we would probably have bid results on the next contract. So after the 3 year term, we'd have the choice of going for the 6 months, or possibly at that point, piggybacking off of the next 1, 2, 3, or 3.5 year contract.
Okay, so you would automatically have that. We don't need
yes.
to do anything
nope.
here to protect us on that.
Well, we would have to take action at that time. We would have to bring it back at that time in 3 years.
Right.
Yes.
But we don't need to do anything to protect
that
you on
correct.
That. Okay. Okay, and at where it was with the 0.0721, the difference for that, actually I had it computed for the last year, would be about $15,683.
I believe so, yes.
Yeah.
Actually, I should note too, it's worth noting, so the slight change is I'm using as an example the 3 year, because that's what was recommended.
Yes.
That change of 1 cent from the 0.0710 to the 0.0711, that 1%, 1 cent, or not even 1 cent difference, that would result estimated based on our average kilowatt hours about $1,500 additional from what was brought to you.
So also what's important to note is the average cost for those 3 years.
Yes.
Is definitely lower than you know where we are in the beginning. So, Brian, I think you did a good job on that. And however the negotiations came up to get these rates, certainly that's a big number in terms of savings. Any questions from members of the committee, Councilman McAllister?
Yes, I just wanted to say great work on this, Brian. Again, being able to lock in what we're going to know, around what the prices are going to be, that's a big plus for us for, 3 years, 3.5 years. I know businesses across New England, energy costs, like electricity, it just continues to skyrocket, and it puts a major, dent on the budget, and having a baseline here and having something locked in so we can budget for it, plus the savings, is a big win. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Councilman.
Councilman Howe.
I'm going to be the third person to say this. I got to echo it. It's nice to see that we have an option of 3 years to be locked in on something that I know at my home. It's a rate that continually goes up. So I commend you, and I commend the administration for seeking this, getting this contract, and I, again, as a taxpayer, but also as a council member, thank you.
Thank you, Councilman.
Any other questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, I need a motion.
Move for favorable action.
Seconded.
A motion.
I'm sorry.
Sir.
Just because we do have a new rate as of today, I'm
sorry. I'm sorry. Yeah, you're right.
On this.
Okay, so now we're going to do a PCR on this. Okay, so this would be PCR 173.19. And if someone could make a motion to amend and state the amendments, please.
I'll make a motion to amend. I just want to make sure I get the right numbers here.
From December 19th through December 20th, it's going to change to 0.0738. December 19th through December 21st, it's going to be 0720. December 19th through December 22nd, 0711. December 19th through June, so December changes to June 23, it's going to change to 0.0722. That's the proposed amendment. I need a second on that.
Mr. Chairman, I've quick clarification. We're voting on the three-year, the December of 2019 to December of 2022, correct?
That's correct. That's what we're voting
okay.
on. But
yes,
we
sir.
Just want to have the last one
I understand.
Quantified.
Okay, thank you. Seconded.
Okay, we have a motion on the amendment. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. I need a motion to move with the amendment.
I move favorable as amended.
Seconded.
We have a motion for favorable as amended. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Brian. Good job on that. Okay. Once again, accepting the minutes, there are none. I'm going to move to PCR 170-19, resolution relative to bids. First item is PCR 171-19. Resolution relative to abatements.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman.
Good
members
evening,
of the Finance
sir.
Committee, members of the Council. Neil Dupuy, Director of Assessing. This month, we have abatements in front of you in the amount of $41,250.30. I will say that about 38% of these are new exemption applications. Other than that, they're mostly appeals that were fired based on the revaluation. But I'll answer any other questions you have.
Thank you, Neil. I know I had met with you earlier today, and I'm just going to touch on the ones that we discussed and that
sure.
you qualified for me. So on item 10540, Bank of America Leasing, that was a tangible lease. A tangible properties exemption. Could you explain to us the parameters around that?
Well, in this one, it's not an exemption, it's an abatement. Two tangible accounts. We actually picked one up in error, and then they also filed, so we had to delete one of those accounts.
So is it a duplicate?
A duplication.
And the correction was to bring it back to one. Thank you. On Campbell, Kevin, item 10532, that was an abater. Abatement, I believe you had, it was because of an adjustment, because of an abater or something.
An abutter lot. Typically, the abutter's lots, when they are adjacent to their house lot, are taxed approximately 10% of the value because they're going to be sold with the property. The exception would be if they're large enough to be built on their own. In this case, that's not true. But for whatever reason, this one had been assessed at full value. It didn't get the 10% adjustment, so we corrected that.
And the other, this is obviously a bunch of other smaller ones, but the other large one is 10542 IAS Logistics, and explain to us the reasoning for that abatement.
This was a company that was located at the airport, and they had vacated the premises and took all the equipment out prior to December 31st. Usually we do make a run through the city towards the end of the year, but being at the airport, it's very difficult to know who's in and who's out. And in this case, we didn't have that information prior to the time it was built.
Okay. Thank you for taking the time early this morning to review these with me and kind of clear up my questions. Any questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Sir, Councilman Cawley.
I could not hear or understand the two items that you discussed was 10540 and the last one, which was 10542. Can you explain that again, please?
So these are tangible personal property accounts. So we tax the businesses for their equipment that they have located within the city. In the case of Bank of America, there were two accounts that were created. Obviously, we can't tax them twice for the same equipment, so we had to delete one of the accounts and correct that.
How did that happen in the first? I don't understand.
Well, what happens is we make a run, actually several runs through the city to try to locate new businesses that are located here, and we pick up what we find out there. We try to reconcile to what is filed by the property owner to make sure that there is no duplication. But in some cases, they file under one name, and we picked it up under a different name. And then based on the appeal, we realize it's really the same equipment.
And this is just for the equipment that's in the building?
Correct, not the building itself, just the tangible property.
The second one about logistics, I think, is what I read. Was that?
And in that case, they vacated the premises. They had no taxable property within the jurisdiction on December 31st, which is a date of assessment.
Okay, they previously had this equipment in the city. They vacated it. They took their equipment with them?
Correct. And usually we're pretty good about finding those before the end of the year, but anything located at the airport is very difficult to go in and figure out, you know, who's in and who's out. We do have contacts over there, but there was somebody that was sick, and at the end of the year we didn't get updated information. So,
okay, I understand it now. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Councilman. Any other questions from members of the council? Councilman McAllister.
Pull one off when we get to it. We have one councilperson who's going to need to recruise, so we need to pull someone out.
All right, fine. I mean, we already got a PCR on it, so. Okay. So you want to pull it off?
So would it be PCR 174-19?
Oh, I see. Gotcha. Okay.
And then we want to for the abatement of William R. White III for $751.07, reference number 10531.
10531. And so who's the recusal?
Councilman Sinapi.
Okay. 10531. Okay. So we're gonna pull that aside. It's going to be a separate issue. So I need a motion.
I move favorable action.
Seconded.
We have a motion for favorable. We have a second. All in favor on
aye.
PCR 174-19?
Aye.
Aye. PCR 151-19, formerly 2020-123. Say what? Oh, yes, okay. So we need a motion on the rest of the abatements.
Minus the?
Minus PCR 174-19. So it's still going to be PCR 171-19 that we're voting on. Okay, what the math is. What's the William R. White exemption?
All right, so I'll move favorable action on PCR 171-19 with the new grand total of $40,499.25.
But what's the abatement for William R. Wright? How much is that abatement?
That abatement was for $751.07.
Okay. And the new total was what, please?
$40,499.23.
Okay. We all good with that number? Okay. So the motion was favorable on PCR 171-19. No, I'm sorry. We get an amendment. We get a vote on the amendment first to change the amount. Okay, we'll just reflect. Okay. So the new amount will be $40,499.23 on PCR 171-19. I need a second.
Seconded.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. 151-19, formerly 2020-123, electrical maintenance repairs. Christy?
Department's again requesting to award this bid to AM Electric LLC for electrical maintenance and repairs in the amount of $15,000 one year from date of award.
Okay, so we discussed at the previous meeting, there was question whether or not the Finance Committee made a motion to rebid this or made a motion to hold. Our position was that we made a motion to hold. It was also stated by myself that the director was going to bring your master electrician before the Finance Committee, and the director disagreed with that, that it was something different. So I listened to the tape the following day, and the director was correct. He did not say he was bringing the master electrician before the city council. He said he was going to meet with the master electrician and discuss this particular issues with him. So I stand corrected on that. The tape did clearly indicate that we had made a motion to hold. It was never sent back for a rebid. Did you have or want your master electrician to come before us and speak to anything this evening, or is it not necessary?
I
Matthew Salitro, Department of Public Works Director for the City of Warwick. No, can you hear me?
Just barely. Go
ahead. Sorry. Matthew Salitro, Department of Public Works Director for the City of Warwick. Okay. No, I didn't want my master electrician to come before the council.
All right, fair enough. So, Matt, on this bid, your department is recommending AM Electric. We don't have any linemen, right?
Excuse me?
We don't have any linemen.
We do not.
No. Nor do we have any need for a lineman, right?
Not at this time.
No. Because that's a whole separate issue with the grid. It would have nothing to do with us.
Well, the National Grid supplies to a certain extent, and if we have poles on our property, then we would need the lineman to come in at that point. So just like your gas service, some in your utilities, sometimes they own from the curb or the right-of-way into the house, and sometimes they don't. So given the fact that we use high-voltage power, you may need a lineman.
None of our people are going to be touching it.
None of our people will be touching it.
Okay. So with those, or with the 2 points that I made in the beginning, I'm still going to be sticking with my same position that I can't support your request to go with A&M Electric, because practically every item except emergency call response is higher, and considerably higher per hour. In addition to that, the discounts on the pots are also 5% higher. I'm sorry, the discounts on the pots are 5% higher than Energy Electric, but the pots, as you can see from the list provided, those pots are all minuscule. The hourly rates are, there's a pretty substantial difference between most of those. So again, can you give me the rationale for going with A&M Electric when what I'm looking at here, and I'm sure everybody sees the same numbers, their numbers are considerably higher?
The reason that we are that we wanted to use A&M Electric was because it would just be for strictly the high voltage aspect of this bid. We wanted to have a fallback just in case something does happen to our electrician. But in the case of emergency, i.e. the rink going down, the pool, critical facilities, we wanted to be able to utilize them in that capacity.
So when was the last time you had to have a lineman do anything in the city?
Last week I could have used a lineman in
the city. Could have?
I could have,
How did you get around it?
I had National Grid. We had to wait for National Grid.
Okay. So National Grid can fill in for you here, too. I can't see these differences, $10 an hour, $20 an hour, all the way down the line.
Right.
Because of something that may or may not occur. And if it does occur, then the grid's going to handle it anyways.
In theory, they could, but I'd rather be more prepared than not. But I mean, if the council, if the finance chair's position is to not award, then that's certainly a prerogative. But the whole basis for this was to not incur an emergency and be at the behest of the pricing for those companies to come out. If I call somebody and we're in the middle of something, I'd like to know that I have somebody on contract or retainer. As I stated before, our electrician can handle most things. It may come up where I never need these guys, but I'd like to be similar to the HVAC, have somebody in our pocket.
Okay, so again, Matt, I'm not going to be able to sign on to that because there's a significant cost difference in the hourly rate. If you get to that point, and from what I'm hearing, it's a once-in-a-blue-moon thing where you need to have a lineman, and maybe it's an emergency and the grid can't get out there right away, then certainly the mayor can always issue a 3-3, and you can hire whoever you need to do it. That one-time expense, two times or whatever very rare instance that occurs, I think the savings to the taxpayers would certainly be significant, as opposed to spending $10 to $20 per hour every time we need an electrician for one item that comes up once in a blue moon. That's my feelings. Open it up to your comments. Councilman McAllister.
Director, but you are, you want to use this for emergency calls, correct? I mean,
correct.
When you have to call National Grid, we're kind of at the mercy of National Grid when they come.
Well, National Grid or someone to troubleshoot a facility that we have, just to see the high voltage line, what's coming in, kind of to make an educated decision as to, you know, what do I have coming in? If my electrician looks at it and he's a master electrician, where do I go from there?
And so for emergency call response, the hourly rate, AM electricity is the lower bid, correct?
Correct.
$99. So if we are only going to use this for the, you know, these rare cases, emergency situations, AM electric is the hourly rate is, it does it actually stays the same, but it is less than the emergency rate for energy electric. Under emergency call response hourly rate.
Under emergency call response, correct.
Councilman, where do you see emergency response? Where does it say that it says, on this document?
Page here, but under cost portion of high voltage master electrician emergency call response hourly rate. $115 for energy electric, $99 for AM electric.
Okay, but also having said that, if you look at the other items, I mean, I'm sure that these are current. It was stated by the director at the last meeting that with just the electrician he has, they can't keep up with this, et cetera, and they're bringing in, or they want to be able to have the option to bring in an outside electrician instead of hiring another master electrician and so forth, right, Matt?
Well, I think what I stated is I would like to have somebody on retainer.
Right.
God forbid my electrician is out of town and we have something go down.
Yep.
The whole premise for this bid would be the on-call emergency electrical services for the high voltage. Anything else would be ancillary to it, and it would be a nice feeling for me as a director of public works to have somebody say something happens to Nick. I mean, we have stuff go down every single day that needs to be changed, and then we could revisit it and say, okay, now we have to hire a company, we have to 3-3 it, what are we going to do here? But to be caught with a city with 42 to 46 buildings, you know, and rely on one person, mm-hmm. I don't know. I just didn't have a warm, fuzzy feeling about that, to be honest with you. So that's the whole
yep.
reason for generating, and you'll see more of these coming through.
So, and again, I don't disagree with what mm-hmm. you're looking to do. It makes sense to me. But on all of these items, and I'm sure you're going to be using this outside source of electricity with 45-some buildings for more than just an emergency call response. I'm sure that all of these other things are going to come into play with a rarity on the lineman. So, personally, I'm not willing to pay $10, $15, $20 an hour more for any of these other services that you need, because on the occasional happenings of an emergency response, A&M happens to be less when they're more on everything else. I look at the law of averages with this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in my world, I look at the law of averages. So in the grand scheme of things, how does this average out? You know, does it make more sense to put this into perspective and say, okay, on 99% of the stuff, this particular thing is more economical, and this 1% where the possibility of that happening is much less, not worth it to me, because when I look at these other things, I'm saying, okay, the taxpayers are going to be paying more for most of this other stuff because of these one or two things, but that's just how I look at it. So, Councilman Howe. Councilman Callister, anything else?
I understand that, but I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, Director, but I mean, this is, you know, you're using this as a backup. We have one person that's the master chief for all these things. What if he goes to vacation? You know, goes to Hawaii, something goes down. I know we can call National Grid, but this is stuff like the rink, you know, the pool, the different things like that, then we, you know, it might be good to have a backup person, a backup option for you.
Right. And so basically the mentality behind it is, and the mindset is, I'm going to use Nick for everything except for what he can't do. And what he couldn't do would be the high voltage line work. And that's where I'd like to, you know, the 99% of awarding, and your philosophy is right, it's an average, except for the fact that I have someone to do the 99% of the work.
Okay.
So this is, God forbid, something happens mm-hmm. to him. I have a backup plan. This may never even get used, hopefully, but it is a backup, an insurance plan.
Okay, so then if all the emphasis is on the emergency call response, if all the emphasis is on that, and if your master electrician is handling 99% of the other items, then why don't we just go with a bid for emergency call response, period? If that's all you need it for, and 99% of the work is being done by our in-house electrician, what do we need these other rates for?
Mr. Chair, Chief
sure.
of Staff, given the outstanding questions, it's okay if you want to hold this. We can kind of discuss maybe some of the questions that we had tonight. That's okay.
Fair enough. That's
okay.
Fine with me. But before we hold it, Councilman Howe.
I know we're gonna hold it, and I'm fine with that. But I have just a hypothetical question for my clarification. $99 emergency call. Let's say it's Saturday. There's a tournament going on. The ice rink shuts down. Is that a $99? Is that a weekend $150? I would see that as a $150 fee, because if we look at the emergency call hourly, and again, I'm assuming, so I'm looking for maybe something we can clarify, Mr. Chairman and Mr. Director. I'm assuming that emergency call hourly rate would be Monday through Friday, regular straight time. And if we called them on a Saturday, it would be the higher rate.
You're correct.
Okay, thank you. And that's something we can discuss. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Any other questions from the members of the committee, members of the council, members of the public? At the request of the Chief of Staff, we're going to hold... Matt, what do you want? You want to go to the 18th?
Sure.
Okay. We're going to hold until November 18th. That's a motion. I need a second.
Second.
We have a motion. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. PCR 16219, formerly 2020-158, floor mats and dry mops. Christy?
The department is again requesting to award this bid to UniFirst Corporation for floor mats, wet and dry mops, in the amount of $12,000 for a one-year period beginning January 1st, 2020.
Okay. Before I go any further, I neglected to say at the beginning of the meeting that we have the budget code items right here as far as the monies go and all of these codes. There's adequate monies and all the codes to support the request of the department. So, Christy, we had the issue on this bid of OSHA certifications on the mats, requirements, et cetera, et cetera. We held a bid because of that. You did send us information from your vendor describing the mats, what they use, their certifications, so forth and so on. I did have some research done on this for me, and I am, based upon what has been sent back to me from my sources and their conversations with OSHA, I can support your vote for the mats, your request for the mats, because your vendor states that they're ANSI certified, right? That's ANSI.
Yes, that's okay. The documents that I sent.
Okay. I'm just going to read this in the record real quick. The ANSI is the American National Standards Institute, operating since 1918, private sector, blah, blah, blah. And it is to outline rules and regulations, et cetera, et cetera. OSHA does reference ANSI certifications in, you know, various things. And this does speak to entry maps, et cetera, et cetera. So I am comfortable with the fact that they are ANSI approved. Your vendor certifies that to us. I don't have any other questions. Any other questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, need a motion.
Move for favorable action.
Seconded.
We have a motion favorable. We have a second. All in favor? Aye. Christy, thank you for doing that research with your vendor and sending that off to us. Next item, PCO 1919. Ordinance of the City Council authorizing the purchase of streetlights, etc. Brian, you have a request.
Yes, the administration requests that this item be held to the first meeting in December, which is December 2nd.
Hold this until December 2nd. Is that going to be enough time to get the Christmas lights and decorations on?
That's the hope.
Okay.
Any
questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, need a motion to hold. Councilman Howe.
Hold till December 2nd.
Second.
At the request of the sponsor, we have a motion to hold until December 2nd. Seconded. All in favor? Aye. Thank you. Next item, PCO 2019, an ordinance of the City Council authorizing design, construction, yada, yada, yada. Brian.
Again, the administration requests that this item be held till the first meeting in December, December 2nd.
Need a motion?
Motion to hold on December 2nd.
Seconded.
We have, at the request of the sponsor, we have a motion to hold until December 2nd. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
The ayes have it. And it is 5:56, and the Finance Committee is adjourned.
We're going to jump right into HEW. Is that all right, Lynn? You ready? All right. The time is 5:57. Health, Education, and Welfare Committee opens. There are no vote on the previous minutes. First item is PCR 69-18, resolution to establish the Bucky Brook Advisory Committee. Councilman Lattiser.
Pending file.
Motion. Per request of the sponsor, move to the pending file. Do I have a second?
Second.
Made, seconded, all in favor?
Aye.
The time is now 5:57. The Health, Education, and Welfare Committee is closed.
I call the Ordinance Committee at 6:04. First off is PCO 18-15 Neighborhood Improvement Program. This is not drafted. Councilman Lattiser, Councilwoman Travis. This is PCO 18-15 Neighborhood Improvement Program. The sponsor would like someone to hold till November 18th.
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Second is an ordinance relative to boat storage on residential property. This is not drafted. Councilman Corley.
I would move that it be scheduled for December 2nd.
Okay, I'll make a motion on behalf of the sponsor to hold to December 2nd.
Second.
We have a second. It's been moved and second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. And I will close the Ordinance Committee at 6:05.
Public Safety will convene at 6:20 p.m. First order of business. PCO 18-19, ordinance in regards to no parking sign being erected on the even parentheses, east side of Oak Ridge Court. Councilman McAllister.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have a traffic study backing up this request for no parking on the even side of Oak Ridge Court. I ask for favorable action.
Any questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Seeing none.
Move for favorable action.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. PCR-168-19, resolution in regards to erecting a stop sign on Finance Street at the intersection of Blade Street. Councilman Mee. I have a traffic study that found favorably as far as putting up the stop sign in the interest of preserving public safety, so I request favorable action.
Questions?
Any questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Seeing none.
Move for favorable action.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. PCR-169-19, resolution in regards to erecting a yield sign on Omaha Boulevard and Estelle Boulevard, sponsored by Councilman McElroy and Councilman Howe. Councilman Howe.
Okay. This is Ward 4, but it's like literally the street is on the border of Ward 4, Ward 3. So we have a positive traffic study, and we request favorable action.
I actually have one question. The header of the resolution says placing yield signs, but the content appears to reference yield sign. Just not sure if you want it more than one. Actually, the content specifies both. Yield sign at one spot and yield signs at another
spot. That should be sign singular. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Is that a modification? That just a clerical thing rather than needing an amendment? All right. Solicitors confirm that it is clerical. Any other questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Seeing none.
Move for favorable action.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. We don't have any minutes to approve. So we are done at 6:23 p.m. Public safety closes.
Okay, this is the intergovernmental committee meeting. It is 6:26, and we have no minutes. We have one item on the agenda. That's PCR-161-19, a resolution adopting the 2019 update to the Hazard Mitigation Plan in accordance with Federal Emergency Management Agency approval requirements. I have spoken with the chief, and Chief, do you want to just give the highlights of what the changes were and the necessary or why it is necessary for us to do this?
Thank you. Colonel Rick Rathbun, Emergency Management Director for the City. So the request of this resolution to put before you is the final approval for the updated hazards mitigation plan. This plan has been over a year in review. It's a five-year plan. This allows us to comply with FEMA requirements for applicable grants, planning projects, etc. Additionally, the plan's approval will then allow reimbursement for the plan itself and future grants moving forward. I want to acknowledge the work of Planning Department member Dan Geegan and the work he's done judiciously working hand in hand with me as the Emergency Management Director, as well as the contractor, VHB, to get this done. So at the end of the day, what we've done is taken the plan, ensured it's up to date within that 5-year window. This is the same plan that was voted on approximately 60 days ago by the council to go to FEMA. It then went down to FEMA Region 1 in Washington, and they confirmed it meets all the requirements of 44 CFR 201 and granted conditional approval, which leads to this final step by your committee and subsequently the City Council if approved, sir.
Thank you, Colonel. Does anyone on the committee have any questions for the Colonel? Anyone on the City Council have any questions? Is there anyone from the public here to speak on PCR 161-19? Okay. Entertain a motion.
Move for favorable action.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
That closes the intergovernmental meeting at 6:30.
It is now 6:33. The appointments calendar will now come to order. The first item on the agenda is an appointment to the Land Trust Commission. Caroline Cesari, are you here, Caroline? Hi, Caroline.
Hi.
Thank you very much for coming here tonight and for offering to serve on this commission. Could you tell us a few things about yourself?
I presently work as a realtor for Keller Williams. I've been there about 10 years. I've been with them for over 10 years. I've closed probably over 300 houses. Have a team now of 6 people. That's pretty much it.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Any questions or comments from the committee?
Yes, I just want to thank you. I just want to thank you for agreeing to serve on this board. This is a very good board, and I know there's a lot of good people that you'll be working on the Land Trust Commission. So anybody that volunteers to serve our city, I'd just like to say thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I would similarly like to thank you for your willingness to serve on this voluntary commission. I think that with your experience as a licensed realtor for over 12 years and also experience as a paralegal, and I see on the resume training new employees, other paralegals on the foreclosure process, these are both very relevant areas when it comes to the land trust. So obviously I look forward to voting for you for this position, and would just like to thank you again, as well as all of the members of the commission, for stepping forward and being active, doing their part to improve the city.
You're welcome.
Any other questions or comments from the council? Hearing none, do I hear a motion? Any questions from the public? Hearing none, do I hear a motion?
I move favorable action.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
The appointments committee ends at 6:30, 6 p.m.
Okay.
Chairman, she's getting antsy.
Is it 6:41?
The time is now 6:41 p.m. The City Council Committee on Public Properties, Land Use, and Community Affairs comes to order. We have no minutes to accept from previous committee meetings before us. We have one item on the agenda, PCO 17-19, ordinance relative to senior and veteran exemptions. Let's see. This item is not drafted. Could we hear from the sponsor, Councilman Lattiser?
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Two things with this. I would like to get this transferred to finance. It belongs in finance as opposed to public properties. And also, Councilman Corley has also requested to be added as a co-sponsor. I believe Councilman McElroy as well. And I think that makes it unanimous. Council President Morolo is on here as well.
Yes, and I don't see my name listed. I believe that I initially requested to be a co-sponsor, so
yes.
I can be added as well.
Thank you.
So I believe that would make everyone. As to the request to transfer, I believe that we would need a vote of this committee. Do we have a motion for...
And also, we're going to hold till December 16th, Mr. Chair.
Yeah. All right. Let's see. Council Solicitor, would we be able to do both in one motion?
I would like to move to hold it to December 16th and to transfer it to the Finance Committee.
Do we have a second on that?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries 3-0 to hold to December 16 and transfer to the Finance Committee. Thank you. There being no further items on the agenda, this committee closes at 6:43 p.m.